this is Sten, the host of the My Thought Coach podcast. Here you'll find stories, tools, and real-life situations from clients, all designed to elevate your thinking and set you free in your mind. At the end of every episode is a guided meditation written to go in tandem with the topic of the podcast, and it will really help you internalize and elevate your thinking. Everything on this podcast has, in one way or another, set me or set someone close to me free. Enjoy. In every podcast here, you will hear stories. In ancient communities, villages had shamans who were essentially the healers. They used storytelling to heal members of the villages or groups, and in so doing, were able to bring about shifts in individuals, in families, and in communities. Stories connect us in an immediate way to truth by changing our eyes, changing our perspectives, and our paradigm. Stories have the ability to do the same thing. Today's episode in stories and the guided meditation at the end is all about learning to trust and just allow things to happen. It's about surrender, and it's about letting go of our need to control. I hope it's as meaningful to you as it is to me. Sufi poets like Rumi write about offering your life, headaches, problems, and dilemmas to a divine source, to God. Listen to this quote by Rumi. Knock and he'll open the door. Vanish and he'll make you shine like the sun. Fall and he'll raise you to the heavens. Become nothing, and he'll turn you into everything. In my life, I've been drawn to the idea that when God or divine or a higher power of some sort is called in or invited in, that anything can become a magical experience, and that marvelous signs can appear when we least expect them. Profound relief can enter our lives when we release our attachments to what no longer serve us. Wounds seem to be healed and given meaning, and I've seen this over and over again. One of my favorite authors, Tosha Silver, wrote this. The perfect solution to any problem is already picked, and you will be guided to it in the right way and at the right time. So there are a couple of stories in particular that I find myself going to in my mind over and over again that really show how this surrendering can transform your life. I'd like to think these are the kinds of stories that would have been told around one of those shaman healing sessions from years and cultures ago. The first story is from a man named John, who tells of an experience that he had while he was on a medical tourism trip to get some surgery done that he needed. He was in Costa Rica, and during the surgery, he had difficulty breathing. When the doctors checked, they said that a lung had actually collapsed and that they needed to intubate him immediately, drain the fluid from his chest, and see if they could reinflate his lung. He said that when he awoke after that procedure, that he had a tube down his throat and immediately realized that he was not getting enough air and that he was suffocating. I'll read to you from his own words. He writes, "The machine seemed as if it were set for an infant. It would be giving me a little puff of air, pause a long time, exhale a little puff, pause again, and then start over. It was excruciating. At first, I tried to breathe past the machine, but found that this was impossible. My wife came into the ICU room at that moment. From the look on my face, she discerned that something was wrong. I tried to write on a tablet, but my hands were both partly paralyzed from the previous anesthesia and also from the lack of oxygen. She started asking me questions, and I was nodding and shaking my head, although I could not talk because of the tube. She could understand that I was terribly distressed, but couldn't tell exactly why. She confronted a nurse who didn't speak English but went to get a doctor. The doctor assured my wife that everything was perfect and that it was normal for patients to fight intubation at first. He told her I just needed to relax and let the machine do its job. My wife came back to me and said, I tried to tell them something's wrong. They said everything's fine, so I don't know what to do. I shook my head, more panicked than ever. I realized that I could turn the life and death burden of being suffocated over to my higher power. I was zapped on drugs and my mind was operating slowly. So I prayed in my mind and just talked out loud to whoever was there and tried to understand how that higher power was going to make me have more air. Finally, I realized that if I turned this awful struggle to breathe over to my higher power, it meant that I was no longer in control, that I no longer needed control, and that whatever the outcome of this struggle, it would be God's plan and everything would be perfect, even if I died of suffocation in the next few minutes. Looking back, I believe it was the hardest decision of my life. If I turned being suffocated over to my higher power, then I wasn't going to complain to the doctors or my wife about the struggle. I wasn't going to feel or look like I was in trouble. I wasn't going to try to make them understand or appear to be in a struggle for survival. I was going to give up the fear and desire for control and trust my higher power to save me or let me die. I just decided to lay this struggle down and walked away. I was free. It didn't change how much air I had, only that I was now trusting that a higher power would somehow take care of me. The thought immediately came into my mind that I was underwater and that this little tube, about the size of a pencil, was my only source of air. I felt grateful for each little puff. I began to think about it and pray and express gratitude for this little bit of air, and I relaxed. I learned to wait for the air and to be grateful when it came. The excruciating feeling of suffocation never abated, but I was no longer afraid. I remained awake on that tube for 5 horrible days. On the 5th day, a different doctor came into the room. My wife told him that she felt for sure I was not getting enough air. He told her that everything was fine, but she objected strenuously with tears. Finally, he walked over to the machine breathing for me and looked closely at the controls. Then, and after a moment, I heard a click. I'm so sorry, but someone set the machine wrong. You really weren't getting enough air, he said. Then he turned to me. Try taking a deep breath. Incredibly, for the first time in 5 days, I was able to draw as much air as I wanted into my lungs by sucking very hard on that little tube. It was hard work, but it was such a relief that I began to cry. I was profoundly grateful, not only for the air, but that I had felt like I wasn't alone, that there was peace somehow. And because of that peace, I had been able to survive. From that moment on, I didn't have to imagine myself underwater, and I was grateful for that. I could get as much air as I needed, and I was grateful for that. Later that same day, they removed the tube, and after some choking and gagging, I was grateful for that too. Over the course of my life, I had been able to let go of things over and over again in different ways and in many times. Just, I had learned to let go of the things that I hadn't been able to control. But this was my first experience with giving away something I desperately needed to live. When I finally did, I was willing to accept any outcome because it wasn't my battle anymore. For me, this was a spiritual trial, and it changed my life. This experience wasn't about breathing. It was about trusting, about being willing to consecrate my last and most precious possession, and then to let go and let God. I was drawn to this story for this episode because it has such a powerful message for each of us. Breathing is such a crucial part of our existence that we often don't even pay attention to it unless it's taken away. And so breath can be a symbol or a reminder of how even this is something that's freely given to us. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. There's nothing that we can strive to do better or be more beautiful or be the perfect weight that would change the existence of our breath. It's a gift. It's a symbol of something that we have that we don't deserve, that there is a higher power of some sort present in our lives. I don't know if it's ironic that paying attention to one's breath is one of the best ways to stop a panic attack. It's one of the best ways to help people that are in their fight or flight mode, just by stilling out every other noise and paying attention to only the breath, the way that the breath feels as it enters into your lungs, how it expands your lungs, how it might feel a little warm as it enters in. And then as you hold it for a moment, and then pay attention to the sensation inside of your body as you let that breath go. And paying attention to every moment. And then what it feels like to kind of be needing or wanting that next breath. And then as you go ahead and fulfill that desire and inhale, what that new sensation feels like and how it's different than the one just before. Breath has a way of bringing us to present time, to the exact moment that we're in. And it's one of the quickest ways to find and discover mindfulness. So many times we're lost in the past, ruminating, thinking about things that we wish hadn't happened, things we wish had happened, regret, or our minds are all in the future, thinking about what we wish would happen, anticipating, manifesting, dreaming about. And the most powerful moment in your life is the moment that you're in the present time, in this very moment. Every moment as it comes, as you are in it, is where your power is. It's what you choose to do, what you choose to think about, that brings you your greatest power, because you can't change the past and you can't change the future. Your only power is what you can do right now. And breathing and allowing breath to be your guide to becoming relaxed and mindful is one of the greatest tools that we have. The second story that has affected my life deeply and profoundly, and I think there's tremendous meaning in, is the story of Aaron Rolston, who was climbing the narrow canyons of Utah when a dislodged boulder landed on his right arm, trapping him against the rock. He was entombed in the wilderness of Blue John Canyon, carrying a small rucksack with just 1 liter of water, 2 burritos, and some chunks of chocolate. He eked out of his water and futilely chipped away at the 800-pound rock and slowly entered a state of delirium until he was eventually forced to cut off his trapped arm with a small knife from his multi-use kit. It wasn't easy. As he neared delirium, he said that he saw something that he didn't expect. He saw a vision of himself playing with a young boy that he said he knew at the time was his son. As he continued to watch, he realized that the man, his future self, was missing an arm. At that point, he realized what he needed to do. It was a grueling process that ended up being even more difficult than he thought it would, because it required breaking the bone first in order to separate it from his body. But it was this separation from his arm that he ultimately had to cut off that saved his life. Here's what he said. "The detachment had already happened in my mind. It was rubbish. It's going to kill you. Get rid of it, Aaron. It's an it. It's no longer my arm." As I picked up the knife, I was very cool and collected. The vision that Ralston had during his final night in the canyon has since come true. He now has a son. What is it in your life that needs to go? What part of your life, of your choices, of your daily habits, is that hand that's stuck by the boulder that needs to be removed and chopped off? See if you can imagine or visualize what that would be. What is it that's keeping you stuck? That's keeping you dying? That's holding you back in profound ways? If you can look in the future and see yourself or imagine yourself without that burden, and although it may feel like something has been lost, what would it gain you? What is the thing that could come into your life in the future if you were to sever off whatever part of your life is symbolized in that hand that needs to be removed? What is that for you? Be still and just see if you can imagine what in your life represents that arm. And ask yourself if you're willing to do what it takes to remove it. And if you're not, ask your higher power to help you. You don't even have to believe or have faith in it. Could you just have enough faith to just say, I need help with this? Just say it out loud. If there's a higher power, if there's a divine being, if there's something, a part of me that has more wisdom than I do at this point, please help me to be able to sever this so that I can live. And imagine what that would look like. And then imagine being someone breathing through a straw. What situation in your life do you need to submit to completely? You keep trying to control, just as that guy tried to control his breathing and force it, and there was nothing that he could do to change it. How could you submit and let go and surrender in your life? Is there a profound relief that can enter your life by releasing your attachment to something that doesn't serve you anymore? Are there wounds that can be healed and given new meaning? These stories have the power to change the way that you're doing life right now. The following statements will help you begin to shift into a new story for yourself. Say them out loud or in your mind and begin to take ownership of these ideas and thoughts as your own. I am willing to be open to the possibility that there is an organizing force of some sort in the universe that is wiser than I am. I am ready to practice putting my trust in the flow or the current of the universe. I am able to recognize ways that I can let go of my own agenda or how things need to look. I'm learning that the process of letting go isn't profound. It's happening in my life one thought at a time. Change within me is happening slowly and most of the time imperceptibly. Life is giving me everything I need to become the person I most want to be. I trust the curriculum of my life. As I surrender to it, I find my teachers everywhere. As I let go of control, my anxiety releases. Circumstances and the actions of others no longer have the grip on me that they once had. I can be still. I can find peace in any storm. I can go underwater in my mind, and I can breathe. I'm beginning to see things in my life that are keeping me stuck, that I no longer need to be attached to. I'm able to live without things I once felt I had to have to survive. Now take a deep breath and hold it and let it go. Begin to relax and imagine that you're riding a wild horse who's pushing back and forth against your force on the reins. Feel it jerking and wild. I want you now, just in your imagination, completely safe, to imagine yourself letting go of the reins of that horse. Just let them go. And imagine the immediate peace that comes as you allow the horse to ride free. Begin to sense that this horse knows the terrain and the road much better than you do. The horse you're riding on is in its element. And now, instead of tossing you to and fro, the horse has begun to relax as well. Hold this image in your mind of letting go of the reins. Breathe in again, deep and full, and feel the fullness and satisfaction of being able to breathe as deeply as you want.